Global markets are largely in the red. Perhaps investors are taking some profits. The local all-share index ended the day down 1.26% to close at 57,092 index points. Financials were particularly hard hit. They were down 3.62% on the day. The gold mining counters are tired of being on the back foot. They were up 1.5%, and that's despite the underlying gold price itself trading on a downer, trading around $1,774 an ounce. Brent crude has also lost some steam, but it still remains above the $47 a barrel level. In fact, it's closer to $48 a barrel currently. The local currencies on the back foot vis-a-vis major currencies, we see it trading at around 15.39 against the US dollar, 18.47 vis-a-vis the euro, and 20.58 against the British pound. Well, to take us through the markets, I'm joined on the line by Gary Boyson. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Thank you very much for joining us, Gary. Markets appear lackluster today. Any particular reason for that on this last day of November?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. So we had fairly good Chinese PMI data out this morning, but my feeling is that we've just run way too hard this November. So we've got our local JSE All Share Index up. Looks like it's going to close around 10.46% up for the month, which pretty much puts it in line with the best month, which I think was 2001 in the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. So an incredibly strong November, and that I think just a little bit of profit taking, to be honest.
So how does that translate year to date for the Aussie?
Year to date, we're pretty much flat. So even though we've had an incredible month in November, the volatility has been so high this year. The headline number of saying that the All-Share Index has done nothing for the year, it really just underplays the story that we've seen in 2020. We had a massive collapse around coronavirus, a big run up. October, I think, was the fourth worst month for the JSE All-Share Index, also in the last 25 years. But obviously came roaring back this month with that 10.46% gain.
Yeah. So what's going on with the local currency? It does appear to be down, not massively, but it's still quite significant. Because earlier in the day, when we spoke on SABC TV, the dollar was actually on the back foot. It was weaker. But so what's happened now?
Yeah, so the rand is pushing out a little bit. And it's only happened in the last hour or so. We've really been flat today, around kind of trading 14.25 to about 14.50 with almost no volatility at all. And then we did see a little bit of a push up into the end of the day. We're actually trading around 15.46 at the moment. A little bit of it, I think, is dollar strength. I think a little bit of it could be the idea that Biden might be a little bit more tough on China and follow, I suppose, a more aggressive approach to international economics, which is just bringing a little bit of risk back into the market. The idea that we're going to have this very benign international, geopolitical landscape with Trump stepping down, maybe a little bit of questions around that at the moment, and that kind of bringing a little bit of risk off trade back into the market. So emerging market currencies being sold off a little bit. Looking at it from a retail client side, I mean, we've seen a huge push out from retail clients, just guys using the last of those single discretionary allowances into the end of the year. That obviously runs January 1st to December 31st. They're just taking out their million rand allowances. But the currency strengthening in November, and that's really come from big institutional international portfolio flows, and it's really been international investors coming and buying South African bonds. So it's been, up until I think it was kind of about the 23rd of November, I think we had just over 14 billion net inflows into South African bonds, which has helped to strengthen the currency. And, maybe everyone just taking a breather into month end and the currency starting to weaken on the back of that.
Yeah. Bitcoin, it hit over $19,800 today, although it's receded a little bit. And this follows it having dipped quite a bit, about 9 or 10% last week after a really good run. What are your thoughts about this very volatile cryptocurrency?
Now, the Bitcoin, I suppose, is the original, and it's difficult. I mean, it's obviously being declared as an asset. The SEC is declaring it as an asset that advisors can now advise on, although I have no idea how they can value it. When you look at it as an alternative to fiat currency, it has been tracking, almost the gold price a little bit, just as it's seen as an alternative asset class and a completely alternative way of trying to store value. For me, it's still very, very difficult to value it. I mean, there's been all sorts of arguments around valuing, you know, these cryptocurrencies based on the amount of electricity that you use to essentially mine them. And that's kind of where your fair value would be. But it's still a very alternative asset class, and the volatility is still enormous. So for me, it's still one of those assets that is more fun to trade than to buy and hold.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. Is this the death of gold? I mean, it's really not doing so well. Its heyday of $2,000 seems to have disappeared.
I don't think so, to be honest. So, I've spoken quite passionately on why I believe gold should be in most investors' portfolios. If you look at it, you know, you can look at gold as a commodity or you can look at gold as a currency. If you're looking at it as a commodity, you know, you're trying to essentially balance the supply and demand. You're saying this is how much, gold is being mined out of the ground. And this is kind of where the demand is coming from, be it Indian wedding season or, you know, demand from the big ETFs, the likes of GLD. We've got GLD Absa locally, but you've got obviously the international SPDR Gold Trust, which is an enormous holder of physical gold deposits. You can try and value it in that way, but we value it much more as a currency. So we look at it as a currency, and it's something that, yes, it's going to trade, but it's a store of value. It's essentially a rand hedge as well.
Yeah.
What it is it's a currency that doesn't pay any interest. Now, when a currency doesn't pay interest, if you have lower interest rates like we have in the developed world at the moment, gold becomes relatively more attractive. So if you consider I can hold my money in dollars, or I can hold it in pounds or euros, or I can hold my money in gold, dollars and pounds and euros are giving you just about no interest. These days, if you've got a balance of, I think it's about 250,000 euros in your account, you get charged negative interest rates. Mm. And then it becomes more attractive to hold an asset like gold. And for me, you know, if you think about it in terms of a currency and look at what the profile is of especially international interest rates, we believe interest rates are going to be low for a long time to come.
And, yes.
We obviously got a very accommodative monetary policy. As long as that remains in place and you've got what's called the zero-bound problem, essentially they can't cut interest rates any further than zero, gold should remain an attractive asset, because if you've got the option to go and take basically pay a bank a negative interest rate to hold your money or hold something like gold as a currency, gold becomes an obvious choice. And that's why if you look at the history and you look at the periods of very low interest rates, you do generally see the currency, at least the gold price,
yes,
appreciating. We've had that pullback from $2,000 an ounce, and it's obviously at a stronger rand. But for me, this is the time you're looking at the rand gold price that I would probably be accumulating. I think we've had a little bit too much optimism in November, just given where equity markets have gone. So now for me is the time to be accumulating, and I think we still will do well over the next 2 to 3 years, as long as interest rates stay low.
Mm. Is it time for investment players to be looking at fundamentals rather than headlines coming out around the tweet that Donald Trump has put out? Obviously, that's not no longer going to be of issue because he's history, so to speak. So going forward, sorry to sound so savage, but going forward, what do you think is going to be driving markets? Because this year, really, it's been headlines.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree. What should investors be looking at? I would always say you should be looking at the fundamentals and not the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But, as you say, this year the real trade flow has been driven by the headline flow, and it's come down to almost everyone ignoring fundamentals completely. I mean, if you look at a company like Tesla, which is essentially a story, it's a headline-driven stock that, you know, it's maybe not Donald Trump tweeting, it's Elon Musk tweeting, and every time he says something, you get a big ramp-up in the share price. If you had told me at the beginning of 2020, we'd go through one of the biggest economic shocks that we've seen since the Great Depression, you'd see economies around the world shutting, you'd see absolute decimation of economic growth, and you'd see a stock like Tesla up close to 600%, I would have said you were mad. I would say that is absolutely impossible, and yet it does. So you're absolutely right that stocks have been trading on these stories, they've been trading on, they haven't been linked to their fundamentals at all. If you look at, and I'm just going to use Tesla again as an example, if you look at Tesla being valued at just in terms of market cap as a company that's bigger and more productive than something like Toyota or VW, which produces multiple times the number of cars and earns far in excess of revenue, we've seen that markets are pricing in an enormous amount of future growth in many of these very hot stocks. So for me, I think in 2021, 2022, you might see that bottom to unwind. every company and every stock price is eventually linked to the fundamentals of what that company can deliver in terms of earnings and the underlying net asset value of the business. So for me, at some point, whether the chickens are going to come home to roost, and 2020 hasn't been, certainly not for the US settling stocks, but yeah, to answer your question, definitely stick to the fundamentals in the long term. That will pay off for any investor.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Gary, for your time. Gary Boyson, he's a portfolio manager at Rand Suisse.